Good morning, church. Why don't you lean in with us as we continue to worship this morning?
There's a sound I love to hear. It's the sound of the Savior's robe as he walks into the room where people pray.
And when he moves, and when we pray. Come on, church, let's sing it together. Let our praise be a weapon this morning. Praise be the weapon that silences the enemy. Let praise be the weapon that conquers all anxiety. Let it arise. Let praise arise. We sing your name in the darkness, changes everything. We sing with all we are and claim your victory. Let it arise. Let praise arise.
Come on.
We see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. For fear cannot survive when we praise. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lifted high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh, let faith be the song that overcomes the raging sea. Let faith be the song that calms and storms inside of me. Let it rise. We'll watch the giants fall. For fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. What freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what heaven looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. For fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. For fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. Oh,
church doesn't just happen at church. It happens every day. But with busy lives, it can be hard to stay connected throughout the week.
So let's make connecting easier with the Connect app just for our church. Once you download the free app, you can create your own personal profile.
Keep it up to date and share it with others you chose. Communicate with your small group, team, or other church members. Follow church announcements and events.
Ask for prayer requests volunteer, and more, all right from your phone.
You can even look up members in our digital directory and give someone a quick call or email with just a tap. Giving to the church is easier too. Track your gifts, set up recurring donations,
and monitor progress toward your pledge goals. The best part is you can do it all from anywhere, at any time, right from your phone. Our new Connect mobile app is a real ministry tool.
Download the app and let's get connected.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Harvest Time. We're so glad that you joined us for worship this morning. We want to thank the worship team for leading us into the Lord's presence today. Wherever you are, we hope that you're safe, and we're so glad that we can connect with you. We hope you'll subscribe and keep worshiping with us online and in person. As you saw from the video, right now we're encouraging everyone to download the Realm Connect app. Realm is how we're going to be communicating as a church family more and more. A lot of you give through Realm, but there's more you can do with it. With our September life group starting up soon, you can use Realm to connect with a life group. You can respond to church events, manage giving, and lots more. Visit our website at htchurch.com to see how you can get the app. The Realm app is really going to help us to connect with people in our life groups and throughout the church. We want to thank you this morning for your faithful giving to the work of the Lord. You know, God's word encourages us to give in faith. He tells us, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Test me in this," says the Lord, "and see if I won't open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there won't be room to contain it." We know that God has no lack, but he wants us to enjoy the fruit that comes from generous, cheerful giving. We aren't together in person this morning, but you can always give online through the Realm app or through the giving link on our website at htchurch.com. Giving online is safe and simple. You can also give by text, and we'll be showing you the instructions on the screen on how to give that way. A couple of important prayer needs to share today. We've all been watching the terrible news from Afghanistan. We want to continue to pray for the church there. Pray that God will give them grace to face anything that they may be called upon to face. Let's also keep praying for safe passage for everyone who needs to be evacuated, and pray for relief for that nation in general. Closer to home, the nation of Haiti is suffering after an earthquake that has killed over 2,000 people and destroyed thousands of buildings. Haiti needs our help and our prayers. A relief fund has been set up by Convoy of Hope, which is a relief ministry that works closely with our denomination. If you'd like to help Haiti, just give through any one of our giving methods and write Haiti on the memo line. If you're sending a check, make it out to Harvest Time and write Haiti on the memo line. Whatever comes in, we'll put it all together and we'll send it to Convoy of Hope. We serve a merciful God who answers prayer. Pray with me, if you would. Father, we ask you to bless your people today. Lord, would you bless the people of Harvest Time Church? As we sow into your kingdom today, we ask you to multiply the seed that we're sowing. Use it for the spread of your kingdom here and all around the world. Show yourself faithful, Lord, as you have always done to your people. We declare that you are a good and a faithful shepherd. Father, we lift up the nation of Afghanistan to you this morning. We ask that you would give them relief, Lord. Give them relief from war. Would you reveal yourself to them, Lord Jesus, as the Prince of Peace? Lord, we pray for safety, Lord, for everyone who's seeking a way out, for everyone who's trying to get out, who's trying to evacuate and get to a safe place. Father, send your angels. Guard your people. Guard the church there, Lord, that's been growing and spreading faster than almost any church in the world. Lord, let your kingdom come in Afghanistan. Let your will be done there, Father. Give them relief, Lord, from oppression, Lord, from the fanaticism that's been crushing people's lives, in which the people there are in such fear of at this moment, Lord. Show yourself strong on their behalf. And Lord, we pray that you would bless the nation of Haiti this morning. Lord, we ask you to give them relief as they seek to recover from yet another terrible natural disaster, Father. Again, show yourself strong on their behalf this morning, Lord. Father, would you let the body of Christ rise up around the world, rise up in care and comfort for one another. Father, use us to demonstrate your heart and your love to the nations of this world. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you've got your Bibles or your Bible app, I want to invite you to come with me to Mark chapter 3, Mark chapter 3. And while you're headed there, we're really looking forward to our fall life groups. Our new semester begins on September 15th, not so far away now. Something new that we're launching that we're really excited about is called Harvest Time University. Harvest Time University, or HTU, is a place to get equipped and get empowered for ministry. We're kicking things off on September 15th with our first course. It's called Life in the Spirit. Life in the Spirit. Life in the Spirit is a course that I'll be teaching. It's designed to help you experience and move in the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to help you walk in partnership with the Spirit and get equipped to move in healing and the prophetic. That course is going to meet on Wednesdays, and it's going to meet on some Saturdays also. To register, just visit our website today at htchurch.com. Click on the top. There's a link that says tickets and signups, and you can get registered. We're looking forward to seeing you this September. All right, let's jump into the Word of the Lord together this morning. Mark chapter 3 and down at verse 19. Jesus has been in a busy season of ministry. He has just chosen his apostles, and his ministry is having a powerful impact. And reading from the beginning, or actually the end of verse 19, it says this: "And they came home. Then the multitude came together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. But when his own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, 'He is out of his mind.' And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, 'He has Beelzebub, and by the ruler of the demons he casts out demons.' So he called them to himself and said to them in parables, 'How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself, he is divided and he cannot stand, but he has an end. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. Assuredly, I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the sons of men, and whatever blasphemies they may utter. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation, because they said he has an unclean spirit. Then his brothers and his mother came, and standing outside, they sent to him, calling him. The multitude was sitting around him, and they said to him, 'Look, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you.' But he answered them, saying, 'Who is my mother or my brothers?' And he looked around in a circle at those who sat about him and said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother.'" This morning, let's explore this story together, and let's see how we also can do the will of God. My message is entitled, "Get Into the Circle." Get into the circle. This year, we've been exploring the greatest life of all, the life of Jesus. Pastor Glenn shared how Jesus' ministry had an initial period of relative quiet as he preached near John the Baptist. After that, however, the Lord experienced a time of great popularity. As he taught and healed and cast out demons, his fame was spreading tremendously. During that season, Jesus called his 12 apostles. He commissioned them to represent him and to minister as he did. John also healed the centurion's servant around that time, as Pastor shared last week. And here in Mark 3, Jesus and the disciples have returned to their ministry headquarters. Some translations may say that they came to the house. Your Bible may read that way. But the expression Mark uses means that they came home. Most likely, this was Peter's house in the fishing village of Capernaum on the Sea of Galilee. With Capernaum as a base of operations, Jesus was located in a place where he could easily be reached by people from the north of Israel, from Lebanon, and from Syria. And in fact, earlier in this chapter, Mark said that people were coming to Jesus pretty much from every direction. But that popularity began to breed jealousy and criticism of Jesus. Opposition to Jesus and his ministry was born, and it began to spread. This passage shows us three groups of people who encountered Jesus. Each group had seen the amazing things that Jesus was doing or heard about them. Each had probably also heard his teaching. One group was made up of religious experts. A second group was composed of Jesus' family members, maybe a few of his townspeople as well. The third group was the people crowding around Jesus inside Peter's house. After encountering Jesus, each circle had a different response to him. There was only one group, however, that Jesus commended. That group had a real connection and relationship with him. That circle received his approval, and Jesus said they were doing the will of God. How do we respond to Jesus when we encounter him, when we encounter his words? How can we receive his approval, and how can we be sure that we also are doing the will of God? As we look at these three groups, we can see some important takeaways, some helps for us, and I want to share them with you. How should we respond to Jesus? First, number one, get out of the critic's circle. Get out of the critic's circle. In verse 22, we read, "And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, 'He has Beelzebub, and by the ruler of the demons, he casts out demons.'" Church, we need to get out of the critic's circle because the critics want to cancel Jesus. This circle contained the scribes. Now, the Gospels show us different groups of what we would call influencers in Jewish society. The group that we see most often is the Pharisees. The Pharisees were a group of men who believed in strict adherence to the law of Moses. Some of the Pharisees were also teachers. But the Gospels mention another group of teachers, and that's the scribes. These were experts in the law. So when you had a question about interpreting religious law, interpreting the law of Moses, you called a scribe. Other scribes were busy in drawing up documents for people. They served kind of like your neighborhood lawyer might serve, drawing up contracts for real estate and wills and things like that. In the Gospels, we find the scribes criticizing Jesus and disputing with Jesus and his disciples. Now, remember with me that Jesus was very active in casting demons out of people. That created a lot of controversy in Israel because casting out of demons was actually one of the prophesied signs of the coming Messiah. Messiah was going to come, and one of the things he would do would be to set prisoners free. No one had ever done this before in Israel. Not even Moses and Elijah, great prophets like that, had cast out evil spirits. And so this part of Jesus' ministry, what today we would call his deliverance ministry, was making a tremendous stir. So whether it was out of jealousy or dishonesty, the scribes came to a very negative conclusion about Jesus' ministry. You know, like critics do anywhere, they took his words and they took Jesus' deeds in the worst light possible. So right there at Peter's packed out house, the scribes started working the crowd. They began spreading their poison and creating disruption at the back of the house and distracting people's attention from Jesus' message. The scribe says, "He has Beelzebub, and by the ruler of the demons, he's casting out demons." Now, Beelzebub was a Canaanite god. His name was actually Beelzebul with an L, but in order to poke fun at the Canaanites, the Jews called him Beelzebub, which means Lord of the Flies. By the time of Jesus, Beelzebub had just become a name for the devil. See, what these critics were saying, therefore, was that Jesus was in league with the devil. Church, that was a serious matter because the penalty for working with demons was death. The scribes were saying, hey, not only is Jesus not the Messiah, he's actually a sorcerer. And remember, when deciding whether to prosecute somebody for sorcery and put them to death, whose opinion counted? The scribes. Their opinion was one that mattered greatly. They said Jesus wasn't really casting out demons. He was cooperating with these evil spirits. He was getting them to just agree to come out so that he could deceive the people. Now, this was ridiculous, and everybody knew it. Mark had already told us a little earlier here in this same chapter that Mark says in verse 11, the unclean spirits, whenever they saw him, fell down before him and cried out, saying, "You are the Son of God." How many of you know today that Jesus has a name that is above every other name, and at his name every knee must bow? Jesus also pointed out just how ridiculous their accusation was. Notice that Jesus is fearless. It says he called the scribes to himself. He challenged them to come and face him so that he could correct them and warn them about their spiritual condition. He wasn't afraid to dismantle teachings. Friends, never be ashamed to speak about Jesus Christ and his power to save and deliver people. First, Jesus said, Satan doesn't cast out Satan. You know, if you look at this world, you'll figure out pretty quick that the devil is not fighting some kind of civil war against his own army. Satan is a rebel who tolerates no rebellion. If that were what was really happening, Jesus said, Satan's own kingdom would collapse. Famous words from Jesus, often quoted by many people, a house divided against itself cannot stand. But in context, Jesus was saying the devil's not at war with himself. Second, while Jesus isn't interested in receiving testimony from the demons, he does say that he's been tearing down the enemy's works. Thank God the Bible says, for this reason, the Son of God was manifested so that he might destroy the works of the devil. Then Jesus says this, no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. Now that's a little comical. Obviously, Jesus is not a burglar. We don't expect Jesus to speak about himself in those terms, I suppose. But he's trying to make you see in that word picture that only somebody stronger than the devil could set the devil's captives free. Praise God, Jesus delivered people from the power of demons then, and he still does today. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He touches afflicted people, and he puts them in their right mind so that they're fit to be in society and fit to serve him. That's the proof that he really has bound the devil. Jesus said he's in the business of plundering the devil's goods, which are the souls and the lives of men. Now, let me take a moment to talk about a passage here that troubles some people. In verse 29, Jesus says, he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation. And then Mark adds, because they said, he, Jesus, has an unclean spirit. I hope what I'm going to say will help some of you this morning. You know, the enemy loves to torment people by suggesting that perhaps they have blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Friends, don't listen to the devil's lies. Instead, hear Jesus' words. Jesus warned the scribes against that sin because they were saying Jesus had a demon. They were telling people that Jesus' ministry wasn't from the Holy Spirit, that Jesus' ministry was from Satan. Now, aside from insulting Jesus, that meant that they were calling the Holy Spirit a liar. It also meant that they were calling God the Father a liar too, because God said, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." And that would result then in what Jesus called eternal condemnation. Why? Because it cut them off from receiving what God says about Jesus. So this behavior on their part was really just an ugly way of putting their fingers in their own ears and refusing to listen to the gospel. So Christian friends, listen, if Jesus is your Savior and you want to serve him, you haven't blasphemed against the Holy Spirit. That's just a cruel suggestion from the enemy of your soul. You know, if you really had committed such a sin, you would actually hate Jesus. You would be saying that Jesus was from the devil. So don't receive that lie about yourself. You know, God is so merciful. Many people who started out opposing Jesus ended up believing in him. You remember that the Apostle Paul, he wanted to cancel the church, but God had mercy on him, and he ended up bringing multitudes to Christ. Now, we don't know what happened to these scribes, but we do know that because of that behavior, they were in spiritual danger. They had put themselves inside the critic's circle. Now, how can you and I avoid the critic's circle so we can do God's will? Learn from these scribes a few things to share here quick. First, don't be quick to attack a work of God. Look at the evidence before you attack what Jesus is doing. Is there some teaching or a practice that's new to you? Then you need to ask, what does the Bible say about it? Do you actually have a valid point from the scriptures, or are you just repeating something that you saw in a meme? Maybe you watched a YouTube teacher teaching you that tongues is not for today, or casting out demons or something else is not for today. But what did Jesus say about it? Have a noble spirit, like the Bereans in the Bible you might have read about. The Bereans searched the scriptures every day to find out whether the gospel was true. They had a good attitude about that. And that's one way to avoid the critic's circle. Second, now listen, I'm going to preach here. Is this okay? Second, handle your questions and concerns in an upright way. The scribes knew how to circle a crowd like a wolf trying to pick off a few sheep from the herd. And they hung out at the back of the room and said, "That's not God. That's weird. It must be the devil." And you know, church, not much has changed in some ways in 2,000 years. Most of those men were unwilling to come to Jesus with honest questions. They weren't willing to do a little Bible study with him. It was easier for them to undercut other people's ministries by twisting things and misrepresenting things. That's not dealing in an honest or an excellent spirit, and critics have never changed their methods. We need to have a better spirit and be like Nicodemus instead. You know, Nicodemus came to Jesus in sincerity. We read in John's gospel how he pushed back against some critics and said, "Do we condemn a man before we hear him and know what he's doing?" Now, there's nothing wrong with questioning something that is new to you. God never minds an honest question. But while a sincere person brings her concerns to the right place, you will find that critics bring their concerns all over the place. And if you can't say amen, say ouch. Get out of the critic's circle by handling your concerns in a fair and upright way. A third thing to note from the scribes here, don't make it personal. You know, the scribes didn't say, "Hey, you know, this Jesus does some unusual things." No, they went straight for the jugular and said, "He's a sorcerer." They reached for one of the worst insults that they could throw at somebody in their culture. You will avoid being poisoned by criticism if you refuse as much as possible to make things personal. See, the Bible says love believes all things. Real love, the love of God, wants to believe the best about somebody. One last thing to learn from the scribes, they were quick to get into disputes. You know what, friends, if there's always a storm around you, then you yourself might very well be the storm maker. If a big chunk of your time revolves around straightening people out, you're probably not edifying people. You may be just fault finding. Paul says in Romans, if possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. If we can avoid those traps, we can avoid the critic's circle. We can make sure that we haven't closed our ears to the voice of Jesus without realizing it. How do we respond to Jesus and make sure we're doing God's will? First, get out of the critic's circle. Don't be found among those who want to cancel Jesus. And the second one is this: be careful. Be careful if you're in the family circle. Be careful if you're in the family circle. Beginning at verse 20, we read, "The multitude came together again so that they could not so much as eat bread. But when his own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, 'He is out of his mind.'" Then verse 31 tells us, "Then his brothers and his mother came, and standing outside, they sent to him, calling him." Church, be careful if you're in this family circle, because the family circle wants to control Jesus. You know, this is an unflattering picture of Jesus' family. When they heard what was happening in his ministry, the Bible says they went out to lay hold of him. Now, that wording is very mild and kind of pious, because it literally means that they were going out, what the verb means in Greek, they were going out to put him under their power physically. Just so you get the picture, in our culture, this often involves a straitjacket. They literally thought Jesus had gone insane, and they were coming to take him home and lock him up. Now, in addition to his mother, Jesus had four brothers. We don't know what they imagined Jesus' ministry would be like. Did they think he would be like every other preacher? Were they afraid that he would be killed like John the Baptist was going to be? Were they afraid that the council was soon going to arrest him for sorcery, as the scribes were kind of hinting at? We don't know, but we do know that they said he had lost his mind. Here's the thing. Something about Jesus no longer matched their expectations. The family circle is made up of those who think they know Jesus and who think they know how Jesus should handle himself. After all, they've known Jesus for their entire life. In our day, just like Jesus still has a critics' circle, Jesus still has a family circle. Do you know there's no shortage of people who are familiar with Jesus? Very familiar, in fact. They would claim to know all about him. They know all about God because they went to church as a kid. They went to Sunday school, or they went to CCD class. Their mom dressed them up funny and put them in church plays and sent them off to VBS. They believe in God, and if you ask them, they're basically good people. Jesus is great, but they don't want to get too carried away. Invite them to healing and revival meetings, and they will try to protect you, just like Jesus' family wanted to protect him. See, they are quite happy with the inoffensive version of Jesus that they know about. But they will want to protect you from this excessive version of Jesus that you've started following. We can picture them standing at the door, just like Jesus' brothers were, calling for you to leave that excessive church that you've started attending. And you know, sadly, people who think they can control Jesus or clamp down on the Holy Spirit, where do they end up? They always end up standing outside the house, looking inside the house with alarm. They have their list of questions, a list of questions that makes sense to this world. Why are you always going to church? Why are you giving them your money? Why are you reading the Bible again? Didn't you already read it once? Don't you think you're starting to get carried away? But church, Jesus cannot be managed. Did you hear what I said? Jesus cannot be managed. Jesus is Lord. Notice that Jesus did not even respond to his brothers when they came to take him home and lock him up in his room. People who think you're getting carried away with Jesus, they might, if they had lived in another time, been among those who wanted to carry Jesus away. I know this is a little blunt, but you see, Jesus defies everybody's expectations, yours, mine, and theirs. He insists that he is Lord in his church, and that can be so unsettling that the people who used to be the most familiar with him can feel that they need to shut down what he's doing. But you know what, friends? When they come to throw cold water on your love for the Savior, don't listen. Keep pursuing Jesus. Be unashamed to be in love with him. Be like King David, who said, "My soul follows hard after you." Don't be embarrassed to lavish your worship upon him. Let's all of us be careful. We might believe ourselves to be insiders, but if we fail to let Jesus be Jesus, if we fail to submit to him, we run the risk of becoming outsiders before we know it. People who want to control Jesus often end up standing outside the house. You can't cancel Jesus, and you can't control him. There's good news, though. Just as he was merciful to a lot of the critics, Jesus did a beautiful work in that family circle of his also. You know, Mary was there in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. James, his half-brother, would go on to lead the church in Jerusalem. Jude, one of his other half-brothers, would also become a leader, and both of those men would write books of the Bible. So, church, let's pray. Let's pray for some of our dear, traditionally minded friends to have dynamic encounters with the living God and come to know Jesus the Lord in a vibrant and a personal way. How should we respond to Jesus when we encounter him? How can we be sure that we're doing the will of God? Well, first, get out of the critics' circle. Second, be careful if you're in the family circle. Finally, this, put yourself in Jesus' circle. Put yourself in Jesus' circle. In verse 33, we read that Jesus said, "Who is my mother or my brothers?" And he looked around in a circle at those who sat about him. One of the other gospels says that he gestured, he pointed at them, he made this motion. He said, "Look at them." And he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother." Church, we need to get in Jesus' circle. That's the circle that doesn't want to cancel Jesus or control Jesus. Jesus' circle is the circle of people who want to crown Jesus. Do you want to know that you've done the will of God? Do you want to hear him say, "Well done, you good and faithful servant"? Then make sure you get into Jesus' circle. Who are the ones in Jesus' circle? They're the ones who've decided to sit with Christ and be close to him at any cost. Yeah, there's a big crowd to push through, but these people didn't come to criticize, and they weren't embarrassed by the Lord. They were actively seeking him. They pressed in to get as close as they could to Jesus to be able to hear his voice. Have we done the same? They put Jesus at the center, quite literally. See, it says they gathered around him in a circle, and Jesus taught in the round. Jesus was teaching like theater style, 360 degrees. They just wanted to hear his words of life so much, they didn't care if all they had was a view of Jesus from the back. I notice also that they were willing to be with other people, people who also had put Jesus at the center. See, they had a love for God's people. They tolerated one another. They tolerated the discomfort of the crowd and the lack of food. Just seeing and just hearing him was everything. Jesus was building a new community, a family made up of those who were trusting in him. Now, did that mean Jesus didn't care about his natural family, his mother and his brothers? Of course not. But God wanted to build a special family that was built on love for Christ and on obedience to him. a circle that wanted to spend time with Jesus and develop intimacy with him. So he viewed them as a mother and a brother. They had a bond with him that surpassed those natural ties. And if you know Jesus, I think you understand that. How do you get into Jesus' circle? Well, rather than try to cancel him or control him, just be willing to let Jesus be Jesus. Jesus' circle wants to hear his words, not criticize his words or give his words lip service. To get into Jesus' circle, ask God that he would change your heart and give you a heart to do his will. See, if you spend your time trying to cancel Jesus or control him, you'll never do his will. You'll never know God the way that God wants you to know him. You might say that you admire Jesus. Oh, he was a great philosopher, a great prophet, and so on. But people who hold that view of Jesus, they never sign off on obeying Jesus. It's a dead giveaway. So I ask you this morning, can you let Jesus be Jesus? Can you let him be Lord? Listen to his invitation. Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This new circle, this new family of Jesus is made up of people who seek the will of God, who hear the will of God, and who are doing the will of God. Rather than cancel or control him, they want to crown Jesus and acknowledge him as Lord in everything. And when they do, they have that wonderful reward. They end up as his companions. They end up inside the house, sharing the house with Jesus. What a great picture that is. Sitting with Jesus and being commended by him in front of those who have come to snipe and harp and criticize. If you're willing to crown Jesus today, and if you're willing to sit in that sometimes despised circle, the Bible promises that someday you will sit with him again, and you will be crowned together with him. Some may not understand him. Some criticize. Some feel that they own him and want to control him. But God is looking for those who will simply surrender to him, place themselves in Jesus' circle, and obey his voice. Will you surrender your life to Jesus today? I pray that today you'll decide to get into Jesus' circle. Amen. Just before we go today, I want to invite you to pray with me. Let's ask the Lord to open our hearts more fully to him so that we can be in his circle. Will you bow your hearts with me and let's pray. Lord, we ask you to help us, Lord, not to place ourselves in that critic's circle. Father, help us to spot those tendencies and help us to approach the things that we don't understand or that rub us the wrong way. Lord, help us to approach those things with an open and a sincere heart. Lord, those of us that maybe are in that family circle, perhaps we grew up knowing about you our entire lives. Jesus, we ask you for more. We ask you to let us know you in a personal way. Maybe you've heard people talk about that before. Maybe you grew up all your life hearing about God, hearing about Jesus, but you heard some people say that he could be known personally, and you want to know him personally as well. Just speak to him right now. Say, Jesus, I want to know you in a personal way. I want to know the reality of friendship with you. Lord, would you open our hearts to you? Reveal yourself to those precious ones that are praying that way right now. Lord Jesus, we want to do more than just know about you. We want to truly know you. And Lord, we want to step into your circle today. We say that we are willing to listen to your voice, and we are willing to give you heed. We are willing to do what you say, and we're willing to follow you fully. Be our Lord. Be our shepherd. Be our friend. Amen. Now, Lord, we ask you to watch over your people. Father, would you dissolve the power of storms right now, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, keep us safe from the great winds and stand guard over us with your powerful angels. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, everyone. Have a wonderful week in Jesus our Lord. God bless you.